Former Irish women's soccer manager Vera Pauw has claimed some of her own staff turned on her in the final weeks of her tenure, but she's insisted there's no bad blood between her and captain Katie McCabe. In an exclusive interview with RT soccer correspondent Tony O'Donoghue, Vera Pauw says she found out that behind her back things were happening. Her comments and a previous statement last evening strongly criticising the Football Association of Ireland followed the FAI's decision this week not to renew her contract, despite what she says was a promised offer of an extension. When Vera Pauw spoke to Tony this morning, he began by asking her about the details surrounding those contract talks with the FAI, which she says started on the 10th of March when she contacted FAI Chief Executive Jonathan Hill.
I text the CEO to say that I was ready for a talk, and we're now 25 weeks later, and nothing had happened until the last, 2 days before the end of my contract. In the meantime, in May, there would be a final discussion with an offer, which was not made. And on the 9th of June, a text message came that afternoon an offer would be made. So far before the Athletic interview came out. And then the Athletic interview came out. I have personal reasons why I had to engage in it, and the details are known by the CEO and the communication manager, so I've been completely open to them about it. But it looks now as if the same things were put into that article, and that I have stepped over borders to engage players or to put players under pressure just before the World Cup, which was not the case, and of course timing was not okay. But from that moment on, the CEO has had meetings with staff members, with players, and that has had a major influence on the development of the authority during the World Cup.
Can I ask you, though, do you regret bringing up the Athletic allegations again? I mean, do you feel that you absolutely had to before the World Cup? Could it not have waited until after the tournament?
I've done everything for that. I've done everything to get it after the World Cup. And they said, if you do not engage, we just write this all. I had no choice, although I have a choice. Of course I have a choice. But I had no choice. I have asked the CEO to stop engaging with people. And he said that he had a right to do so. He has. But to step into the space of technical affairs, which is the connection and the way the team building process is going, I've explained to him that it would be a detrimental effect and that my space would be restricted. And that every single step I would make could be placed into a corner of mental pressure, safeguarding, everything that's coming with it. And that happened as a result of it.
Don't you feel, though, Vera, that the FAI had a duty of care towards its players because the allegations surrounding you, which I know you deny, had resurfaced again. They had a requirement to ensure that the players were in a safe environment.
Yes, and the FAI must do something. But in the article were the same things that were written in December at the end. And the way that's been treated now was more to safeguard the management and to make sure that they were doing the right things instead of what is best for the team now. And one of the agreements, for example, was that we would have a bubble so that I could have my moments to address things. And that bubble would be breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the team meetings. Not 1 second it has been guarded. Management came in and out at any moment that they wanted.
So you didn't want for FAI executives to be part of that bubble?
No, because those are the moments that you can do the little things like, hey guys, this is what we agreed with commercial, we all are in green now. Or we cannot wear other other brands. But if there's strangers in, if you say that, that's like as if you call off a child. You cannot do that with strangers in there because the atmosphere would be completely different. There was even a FIFA safeguarding officer at the first training that entered the pitch in between the between the white lines around the pitch, on the pitch. And I was told that every team would have a safeguarding officer and that the safeguarding officer is free to come and go whenever she wanted. So I engaged with her after the training. I said, you are welcome to come here at all times, but don't come on the pitch because the pitch is the players and the staff and nobody else. So she apologized because I said, I'm sure that FIFA said to be to restrict yourself from being a presence. So she apologized, but I never saw her again.
And was that common that there were safeguarding officers assigned to all the teams at the World Cup?
Well, I was told so, but after the World Cup, I've engaged with all the coaches that I know, and I know quite some. And every single coach had safeguarding officer. Well, I don't even know about the existence of it. It was so hard because I couldn't engage with them anymore. I was guarded constant. Everybody, I was walking on eggshells. There was hardly any moments anymore that I could engage. Now we came back from Perth after the Canada game, and we had to fly through the night. The players were tired, so the doctor told me that they couldn't train, that she strongly advised to not train with the players. But the subs had to train. Everybody knows that they have to train match day plus one. But it ended up with that I was told, if somebody rolls her ankle, do you know that you can get a safeguarding claim on you? And I thought, right, this is it. I'm the expert in the load of the players. And I've now been told to not load the players. But everybody knows that it's the coach, the head coach, who is the performance manager. And I am educated over 35 years and have the experience to know that at that moment, the players who did not play had to train.
Vera Powell speaking there to Tony O'Donoghue, who joins us. Tony, this is quite clearly a relationship, despite the success of the Ireland side under Vera Powell, it's a relationship that's ended in very considerable acrimony. But in other comments to you today, she was at pains to say that that acrimony did not include the players and particularly not Katie McCabe.
Yeah, Brian, she did say that she's met with and spoken to Katie McCabe since the World Cup, since the squad broke up after the World Cup campaign, and spoke to her for over an hour, and she feels that they're on common ground. She felt that Katie was put in a difficult position because of this, I suppose, this chasm, this vacuum that existed. The manager, Vera Powell, she says, was told that there was going to be a contract offer. You know, when the first athletic allegations emerged last Christmas, the FAI were very strong in their support for Vera Powell. What happened in July was a kind of a regurgitation of the same accusations, and yet they had felt that they needed to distance themselves a little from them. So that's perhaps the time when the contract negotiations, as far as the FAI were concerned, were put on the back burner. But Powell believes that she was the victim of that, in a sense, that she wasn't, being treated fairly, but in that vacuum then came all sorts. She felt she was undermined, her authority was undermined. The fact that she mentions that management were breaking through into the team bubble, you know, they do talk about the dressing room being sacrosanct in sport, and the hotel environment as well at these tournaments. You know, okay, the media occasionally go to the team base in order to conduct some interviews, but you're given a very specific time and then you get the hell out of there. And it's the same for families and it's the same for management. You know, the team is the team and they have their own bond and their own kind of traditions, etc. And that's what Vera was trying to maintain, and she feels that was broken. And so when the management did that, she felt once again her authority was undermined. As you heard her say there, she was walking on eggshells. And then when the players are continually asked about support for the manager, well, it's not really their job to hire or fire the manager, and support or lack of it from the players, especially the captain Katie McCabe, was not forthcoming. And yet, as far as Powell is concerned, that wasn't fair in the
players and it wasn't their fault. She also says she has received a number of expressions of goodwill from many of the players, she says, and some parents of the players as well. So the kind of the general kind of trend before today was that none of the players support her. She says that's not true.
Well, those comments she made to you about the safeguarding officer in Australia and the application of these safeguarding guidelines, is she saying there that she believes she was singled out in some way?
Well, I hadn't heard of that before, I must admit. A safeguarding officer in men's or women's football assigned to each team. There's a safety officer sometimes involved in terms of the setup of the team and security. But in terms of actual safeguarding, I hadn't heard of that before, but that's not the case. She says, first of all, she was told that every team at the World Cup had a safeguarding officer. She says that the safeguarding officer arrived one day and went out beyond the white line, again, mm-hmm. what's sacrosanct in football, while they were doing a corner kick routine, and she had a word with her, respectfully, she says, that I'm sure FIFA wouldn't want this. And then she said she never saw the safeguarding officer again. She says she knows of many coaches at the World Cup, and she checked with quite a few of them, and none of them had a safeguarding officer. So it is a very strange, to say the least.
Now, we haven't heard certainly any detail yet from the FAI about the reasons for its decision not to renew her contract. Are we likely to?
Well, the FAI are saying they're not going to speak on this until after the next series of games with the men's team, the Stephen Kenny team, because obviously they have to play next week against France in Paris, to be followed 4 days later by the Netherlands, ironically enough, in Dublin. But the FAI chief executive, Jonathan Hill, did mention before the World Cup that he would speak about Vera's contract when we got to Australia. Declined a lot of requests to speak out there. Now he's saying he won't speak until these men's games are concluded. But I think this puts a lot of pressure on them. I mean, the review and the terms of reference for the review and how it's been seen. First of all, Vera Powell claims that the first person to be spoken to was her assistant. The second person to be spoken to was the communications manager, and the third person to be spoken to was Vera Powell herself. She feels that there should have been evaluation first, then the first person to be spoken to should have been the head coach, rather than the other way around. There's a bit of a recency bias, she'll claim, when doing a review like that. She also feels a review with anonymous contributions isn't really significant or worthwhile. So this is a lady who has had reports suggesting that she exerted excessive control over her players while in America through anonymous sources. She vigorously denies that. Now she's been done down, it seems, as well, by anonymous testimony from players and staff following this year's World Cup.
All right, well, clearly it's not over yet. Tony O'Donoghue, who's soccer correspondent, thank you very much for that.